What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
All right, let's talk some football, some playoff football with the great Dick Vermeil, who's with us every Friday at this time. He's brought to us by Independence Blue Cross, the region's strongest networks of hospital, excuse me, of doctors and hospitals. It means you can choose where, when, and how you get the care you need. Learn more at IBX.com. Legendary coach of the Eagles, Hall of Fame coach, Mr. Dick Vermeil. Good morning, coach.
Good morning.
Dick, we're fired up and expecting a win, but not taking it for granted. Anything can happen. Certainly snow can impact this game, and if it happens, will impact the game to what extent. Dick, you've coached a lot of games. What is a snow game like when you're the coach and you're observing your team? The pluses for the Eagles in this game in snow, the minuses related to snow. Give me your thoughts on snow and how it could impact the game.
Well, I think the plus goes to the Eagles because we do live in a colder weather than the Rams do. So I think that's a slight plus. But I think the team with the deeper mental discipline gains the edge in any adverse environment. You know, there's been a lot of major upsets and snowstorms over the years, and we've seen it on television. But neither team really enjoys playing in it. But I think the link will be a good field. I don't think we'll have trouble with snow all over the field like they've had in Buffalo and New England and those kind of things. And I'm no authority on the weather, but I kind of believe we'll have pretty good conditions, and it really favors the Eagles, if anybody.
So, Dick, obviously one thing that could complicate that is if it's snowing, like literally during the game, and it's harder to clear the field. One thing I've heard through the years is that snow hurts the better defensive team because it's harder for defenders to know where they're going. The receiver knows where he's going. Would you say that is a disadvantage to the Eagles and a disadvantage to better defenses if it's snowing during the game?
It may be a little bit of a neutralizer, but if you're better, you're still better. The other team's playing on the same field, okay, at the same time. You know, and I think, you know, right now, if you study them completely through the season, the Eagles are a much better football team. You look at all the numbers. The only thing they're not as good at is passing yards because we don't throw the ball as much. But really, yeah, I think the biggest advantage the Rams have is the fact that they got beat so badly the first time. And that's a mental edge for them. They have pride. They are a lot better football team today than they were then. And it could affect our players negatively. In that, you think, how can a team that we beat the hell out of come in and beat us at our home field? You know, it takes a little edge off, and it takes a great coaching staff like Nick has to really make sure they're focusing as if they're both teams are equal today, and that game in the past means nothing. Because that's an edge to the Rams. It really is. And the Rams, over the last 6 or 7 games, aren't the same team they were the first 6, 7 games of the season.
Right.
But if you study all the numbers, everything's in favor of the Eagles.
Coach, once upon a time, you were coming from the West Coast, and I wonder how you felt about the snow. How do you coach guys who are from the warmth to be tough in the cold, in the snow? Is that a major detriment?
The way I look at it, you didn't coach them to be tough for the week you play in the snow. You coached them to be tough in the training camp for every game they played in. And there was a big carryover. It's harder to do with the tempos of practice today, with the double days as they are. And it's all better for the players. Believe me, I'm not criticizing it. But in the old days, you could better discipline the normal tempo with which you play a football game on the field than you can today.
Dick,
you had more time, more contact, more pads, and the game was played lower.
Yeah.
That was an advantage then. But, you know, something I did not like to play in the snow. In fact, I think it ought to be a mandatory rule in heavy snow areas in any new stadium built should have a roof on it. You know, nobody.
Wow.
Oh, no. Jack.
I hate that. Oh, I do think it's a huge advantage for us, but I understand what you're saying.
I'm talking about the Buffaloes in the New England. The other night, they showed a Buffalo game in a new stadium across from it, and they're not putting a roof on it. I mean, there ought to be a law against that.
I think it's a huge advantage for Buffalo. They know can handle it, and their opponents can't.
And I think it's a disadvantage for all 22 guys at a time who are on that field health-wise.
It's such
too,
a great visual on TV, though. I mean, viewers across the nation love it. Ratings typically are higher.
It is more dangerous, though, to Coach's point. It is slippery. It's icy.
Oh,
it's
freezing. Let's say you're playing defense. You come off the field. You go 1-2-3, and you shut them out. Your offense goes on a 7-minute drive, and you've been sitting on that frickin' bench. Now you go back to the ball game. You don't get a 15-man pregame warm-up to warm up. You know?
Yeah,
you
this is great.
And it hurts so bad. It hurts so much more when it's cold. Coach.
Oh, no question. You know that. You know, all the fans up there in Buffalo, so, we love the no roof. All the people that own a convertible don't drive to the game with a top down.
That's true. That's a good point. When you watch,
I can't understand it. Yeah.
When you watch this, Sean McVay and his staff, does it harken back for you? I mean, do you feel like you're seeing a young Dick Vermeil at any point?
I'll tell you, he's far better football coach than Dick Vermeil ever was. Believe me, he's so far advanced offensively than the way we used to think and coach. Now we were closer to that when we were at the Rams, a newer era. But this guy is a very fine football coach. Like I've said to him, it's in your DNA. You don't have a choice. It was Grandpa was working with Bill Walsh, not as a coach, but on the general manager. You know, he was on the New York Giants staff when we did the miracle of the Meadowlands. So it's in his DNA. And I've watched him coach over the years on the field. Great coaching staff, great head coach. You know, and that's why they're improved so much this year.
Yeah, right. No, he's a great coach. There's no question. Dick Vermeil with us right now. Borgata, of course, our home base every Friday morning. Wonderful to be with you on this Football Friday, getting ready for the playoff game. Coach, let's talk about Jalen. So, you know, the town is very split on him, very split. They keep winning, but there's a lot of concern, and then there's other people that are not concerned. What do you make of Jalen in the passing game and the deficiencies or the pluses? Like, what do you make of Jalen Hurts, the passer?
Well, let me tell you this. There's a much bigger game that he played in a few years ago against the Kansas City Chiefs, which they lost 38-35. He threw for 304 yards, had 103.4 quarterback efficiency rating, threw a touchdown pass and scored, ran for 70 yards and scored 3 rushing touchdowns. I wouldn't worry about him. I don't think he is playing quite as well as he was then, but it's a totally different scheme, totally different coaching staff. And he's more mature. He should be playing better. And, you know, he's playing pretty darn well. His numbers right now are better in 2024 than they were in 2022.
But so why does he get all this blame, Coach?
Because that's Philadelphia. That you can't run for 150 yards and throw for 400 yards in the same game. It's tough to do.
Yeah. Right.
Well, that's true. Point. Dick, the Kellen Moore thing. So I don't know if you saw this news, but he's got 3 interviews between today and tomorrow combined. They're virtual interviews. So, you know, at least he's not flying to a different town or anything. But it's something he's got to prepare for and he's got to do. And this is all while he's preparing for the Eagles and Rams as well. As the head coach, how much would that bug you?
I think it would be a distraction. I look at something like that. It can't hurt. I mean, it can't help, but it might hurt, okay?
Right.
All the preparation for Sunday is it almost, you know, finished by right now. Oh, and especially by Saturday morning. But I still think it's a distraction. How humanly impossible for a young football coach to think he might be getting a head football coaching job and talking to 3 different teams, okay?
Yeah.
And then turn it all off after they finish the interviews and become what he was prior to the interviews. It's tough. If anyone can do it, I'm sure that he can.
And if you are Kellen Moore, how would you approach getting Jalen comfortable for this game, getting Jalen into a rhythm for this game? He talked after the last game against the Packers about how difficult it was for him to get into a rhythm. Is there a way Kellen Moore can go about making sure that doesn't happen again in this playoff game?
Well, I keep hearing the rhythm. And a lot of people use that time. You know, the rhythm system really doesn't work too good. You just look at birth control, you know.
Hey, now, coach.
Wow.
Nice, coach.
Whoa. Yeah, I've heard it's not 100%, coach.
It's not 100%. But I think Jalen has played in enough big games to be ready to play at his level that he's prepared to play. I keep studying what he's done in the past and compare him to Brady and all these other kind of guys. He will play well. Yes. If everything in the scheme is fit in the game plan in attacking a defense that they haven't attacked since early season, you know, when they run for 250-something yards, God me sakes. But,
yeah.
No, he'll be well prepared by a good coaching staff, a good head coach, and that they should win the game. Like I say many, many times, the only rule that's not in the NFL rule book is that the best team has to win. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who is going to be the best team game day? And I kind of believe it will be the Eagles.
So, Dick, it sounds like we got your pick right there, but if you could elaborate, your official prediction, what do you got?
Well, my computer says by 12.5, but wow. The problem with that, it measures all 17 games statistically. It doesn't start remeasuring the last 5 weeks of the season, which are more accurate at indicating what kind of team both teams are, okay? So I think the Rams will beat them. I think it'll be in the 7 to 9 point category, but I'm no expert on that stuff because I'm not a gambler, okay? I'm not a big risk taker on the football field either. And the Eagles are a better football team. Now they have to prove it.
Yeah. And I actually misheard it. James said you said the Rams, but you meant the Eagles will win. James, you're saying you said the Rams? Yeah, okay. Yeah,
excuse
the Eagles, obviously. We know what you meant.
I need more coffee. I need another
Hey, Coach, enjoy the game and games. It's quite a weekend of football, and we'd love to see the Eagles back in the NFC Championship game if they can grab this one. Let me remind everyone, great news. If you live in Pennsylvania or New Jersey, you can now get, and it is phenomenal wine, the delicious Vermeil wine shipped directly to your home. Visit VermeilWines.com. That's VermeilWines.com for Coach's entire wine selection. Coach Vermeil, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you, sir.
Take care.
All right, thanks, there
Coach.
He is, the great Dick Vermeil. Well, it's a big day because it's a big game on Sunday. And, of course, on Friday is Borgata, our spot. Wonderful to be with you on this Friday morning. Joe DeCamer, John Ritchie, Ruben, Rhea, Devin, Seltzer, Pack Show. We already talked to Coach Vermeil. By the way, congratulations goes out to Joe in Hamilton. Hamilton, New Jersey's Joe is headed to the Eagles game because he won the tickets that we gave away about 20 minutes ago. Joe, buddy, if you're still listening, I hope you enjoy the game. Thanks for listening to our show. And
according to Joe Wachter, Joe was pumped.
Really?
Yeah, said he never wins anything. Was like so excited. So pretty neat.
Joe, if you can call in, please do. I know our phone lines might be jammed, but if you're able to call, we'd love to hear from you because I'd like to, you know, get that reaction more on the air. So good stuff, buddy. And look, hopefully the Eagles have another home game next week, and hopefully we give away tickets again. But that's unlikely. Because in all likelihood, Detroit will take care of Washington, and that'll be what that'll be. But we shall see. All right, more on this Eagles-Rams game, something Mayock said, something Jaws said this week. We'll get to that. Hey, congratulations goes out, you might have missed this, to Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley yesterday named the Maxwell Football Club's Burt Bell Award winner for Pro Player of the Year.
That's awesome.
So, you know, he's probably not going to get the MVP, right? I mean, it's all Josh Allen, Lamar talk at this point. And obviously the voting would be over because it's a regular season award and you pretty much never heard his name in the last week, which is a shame.
And odds-wise, he's much lower than those
you know?
Two. Yeah.
But the crazy thing is, had he played in the final game and gotten the 100, whatever it was, 20 or 30, whatever the heck it was that he needed, then he would have broken the record and he might have won the award. I mean, John, it's a fascinating dynamic not playing in that game. It's like he's off the map, but I credit
I don't think it's fascinating. I think it's really unfortunate.
I agree. Right, right. That's a better word. That's right.
Man.
That's right. That's right.
Just devastating if you're Saquon's family, I would imagine.
Well, how about if you're Saquon? You know, it's,
and maybe even if you are Saquon. Yeah. But, no, but he was clearly bumped. Done everything so right every step of the way.
And handled it well. But it's
just
got
an incredible guy.
But anyway, congrats to Saquon, the Burt Bell Award, which obviously goes way, 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 way back.
Well deserved.
And he wins it, which is awesome. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's rock a lot of calls this hour. Get to Tom in Abington right now. Tom, good morning.
Yo, gang. How we doing this morning?
Great, Tom.
Yo, Tom.
You sound good. You sound like you're ready.
Hey, I am, man. Hey!
That's not right.
That's actually the same same tone and everything.
Like pretty impressive.
He nails the note.
Yeah, that's Conklin-esque.
I got to tell you, it's nice to hear that the pandering pink peeper lives on, Joe.
Triple P.
It really
it really does sound wrong, though. I'm afraid to even say it out loud.
You're right.
Yeah. And Devin, you don't want to clarify why it sounds wrong, right?
No, yeah I think
we'll keep that off the air.
Yeah, I think it speaks for itself.
Yeah, but it look, it is a great nickname, and it does sound raunchy as all heck, but you know.
Yeah. All right. So one thing I think you guys missed with, what was it? Gary was the contestant?
Gary, yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't think he blew that on purpose. He said in there that he's not an Eagles fan. Didn't want the prize.
Tom, I had the thought, and also, especially because when he talked about his two times at the World Cup in Eagles, he said, I averaged three. He didn't say I scored three each time. Like, he could have gotten five in the World Cup and one in the Eagles last time.
And he didn't know any Eagles. He was thinking, he paused, he passed.
Yeah, but if you were throwing it, you would pause and pass and joke around too, right? I didn't hear it, but I would imagine if you throw it.
I think at best, maybe he got into it, was like, I ain't winning this, and then leaned into it,
Maybe. That's possible.
Well, I'm taking the W in part because I went 5 for 5.
You went 5 for 5. You went
I wasn't going to lose.
Yeah, it was very impressive.
All right. Get off your high horse, Joe. this snow is supposed to come in right at kickoff, right?
Well, right around there.
Yeah, I think 30 minutes before or so,
Which means that the tarp won't be on the field, which means that it will be affected more than if it were 3 hours before.
Now, I heard a stat from Giglio yesterday, and he was saying that Stafford in inclement weather is 1-8.
Yeah, the numbers are bad for him. That's right.
Yeah, so between that and then, we have Super DeGene, Quinyon Missile, the Georgia boys. This defense is going to take this team apart, guys.
Sure, I hope so. And listen, obviously Stafford, while good, isn't someone that runs around a ton. And Jalen Carter right up the middle, you know, you like to have that push against a pocket passer. I mean, that's a big part of how the Giants beat, Brady in 07, obviously. So it can be a real factor. Tom, give me a great answer for the best scene ever in a home.
Hey, real quick, we're going to have a home playoff game next week.
I hope.
Because the Packers and Vikings aren't the only frauds from that division.
I don't know, man. I think you're wrong, too. All right, a scene in a home, Tom. What do you got?
Well, anytime you get an offer you can't refuse, and then you wake up the next day with your horse's head next to you in bed, I'd say that's a pretty good scene.
Already been said.
Already taken.
Yep.
Great.
All right, how about Tommy walking in and getting shot in Goodfellas?
Tommy, home. It's an empty home.
By the way, the horse head is the best scream in movie history.
No, Miss Tessmacher.
No, it's not as good. When he's like, it's like they repeat it three times with the echo. It's like it's the best.
And then there's Superman when Lois Lane dies in Superman 1, but then she doesn't die because he flies around the Earth. Like, that's weird.
A man in my position cannot afford to be made to look ridiculous.
Scene is really ridiculous. Like a 3-year-old.
It's horrible.
And I could tell it was ridiculous.
It takes
I remember being like a toddler and saying, Mommy, what is going on with this horrendous production?
It's a brutal way to resolve an otherwise great movie. All right, Devin, one thing I noticed on Wednesday was I sense that you are wavering a bit on Jalen.
Mm-hmm.
So here's how I would stack the pecking order up of belief in Jalen versus less belief in Jalen on our show. I'd say John is the most believer. I'd say James is number two. I'm saying through the year. I would say, Devin, you're three. I would say, Ruben, you're four, Rhea, you're 5.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm 6.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. So, Devin, but you're whatever I said there, 3 or 4. You were pretty strong 3 or 4, meaning you were much closer to John and James than much closer than me. And I noticed on Wednesday concern from you. Am I reading you right?
Yeah. I mean, it's just how can you not be a little bit concerned this passing game? I know that they're still winning games, right? Like you can't argue the record. Jalen Hurts wins games when he plays a full game as quarterback, but it's frustrating to watch. I mean, especially watching it in person. And I'm not trying to start drama here, but like you can tell some of the other players on offense are a little frustrated, especially at the end of that first half against the Packers. I mean, it was just like 3 and out. Nothing was going his way. He wasn't seeing the field. Guys were open. I know there's some people who have said like no one was open. You know, the Packers did a good job and their defense did play a better game than they did in week 1, but that's not true. Like these guys were open. AJ Brown said himself he was open. So
he says he's open. It's every frustrating. Snap. You guys understand that, right?
I know. Okay. Yeah, but I don't want to get into the weeds on that. My point
was intentionally conservative.
Seems, well, he is that. He is that.
He's very conservative, but I think it's almost. And I don't want to say that he should be, you know, throwing it left and right going into this game because I don't want him to throw picks. And he hasn't done that, but it's like he's got to find a happy medium, I think. I think Jalen has accepted his role as kind of a game manager who does what he needs to do to win the game, and that is play really conservative football and lean into the run-first offense. And I would see more of a balance. Ruben, I would like to see more of a balance.
Ruben, are you wavering a bit?
Not wavering, but here's my take on it. I think that he has a tough time using the middle of the field because of his height.
I agree.
Oh, it's a huge
factor. Well, and yeah,
I think it's a huge
guys
factor.
In front of him
and
are really tall, too.
I watched Tanner McKee, who's, what, 6'6", and how he handled his, you know, his passing. It just seemed like he had a better feel for the ability just physically to be able to use the middle of the field better. That said, obviously we haven't seen him play that much, but I just feel like Jalen is a tremendous athlete. He is a tremendous competitor, and I think he's going to do what is necessary to win football games, and that's the most important.
All right, let's listen to Jaws. We had Jaws on the program earlier this week talking about Jalen, but he made a big pivot to this Rams game and previewing it from the perspective of what Jalen needs to do and what he'll face. Here's Jaws a couple days ago with us. I think the issue a lot of people have is, when the challenge gets harder, will he have it in his bag to do more if necessary? And it probably will be necessary. Now, look, maybe they can just bludgeon teams and run for 250 yards and win the next 3 games that way. But, you know, they may not be able to win every game that way. And if he has to do more through the air, is he prepared to? And I don't know the answer to that, but I have worry of that. So,
Joe, I mean, he's going to get a litmus test this week. The Rams are a very good defensive team. They're young, they're quick, they're fast, they're well coached. Chris Shula does this very good schematically. He'll get a lot of different looks. He's going to have to audible the line of scrimmage. He's going to have to recognize the defensive movement pre-snap and post-snap, which is most important when you play the Rams, because what you see is what you don't necessarily get once the ball is snapped. So it's going to be a cerebral game against this Ram defense. It's a young, fast, quick, aggressive defense. He's going to have to make plays. They're going to have to throw the ball 30 times this week to move the football.
Yeah. Wow. Well,
this will be a good test for Jalen where he's at right now. But I've talked to you guys all year long. I'm not concerned about him.
All right. Well, it's good to hear Jaws feels that way at the end. I mean, we'll see. I hope it's not 30 passes.
30 times?
Ugh. Yeah, so the quarterback.
Run it a lot. Run
the quarterback is not concerned about the quarterback. The quarterback who knows what reading a progression
but he's not in foul.
Is not concerned about the quarterback.
Yeah, but the hammer's concerned. See what I just did there, John? We'll see. Look, we'll find out. 215-592-9494. But I am very confident in the Eagles. Let's go to the phones. Christian in Haddon Heights. Christian, good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
What's up, Christian?
Hey, buddy.
Hi. Start with a broad point. I'll try to skinny it down to the Eagles. So this game to me is, you know, a perfect example of what the NFL is trying to do with dome teams, turning the game more or less into like track meets, which, you know, looks good on television. You have the long passes, the one-handed catches, a speed game. It takes away from the essence of what football is, was, however you want to look at it, which is a game played on grass, outside in the elements.
I agree.
Yeah.
I was shocked that Dick Vermeils wants a dome. I mean,
it's a California boy.
Yeah, that I was like, say it ain't so.
I was
so,
surprised
coach.
Too.
I mean, Christian, that's part of the Eagles' DNA.
It makes us better that we can play outside. It really does help us. It helps our cause.
How about the Vikings? The Minnesota Vikings play in a dome, and the Buffalo Bills are going to play in a dome.
No, they're not. They're not building a dome, right? No, I think the Bills will have a roof over just the fans. So the fans won't get, I think, like, temperature will still be cold, but the fans won't get snow on them.
But there is a hole in the roof, or the roof is off?
There is a hole in the roof.
That'll work out well.
Like, the field will still get snow on it, I believe.
I hope. Wow. Such a strange. Well, I need to do a little research, I guess.
I mean, that's football, though. Like, that. I think that the elements and the cold weather, like, that's football weather. If everyone has a dome.
And here's the advantage I'd say. I've always believed the advantage is with the teams that don't have a dome, and here's why. If I don't have a dome, I can beat you easier in your dome than you can beat me in my cold weather environment.
No doubt.
Yeah. I think it's a huge advantage.
The Eagles going to Detroit next week, assuming everything goes as planned. It is a benefit. Those guys are excited that they get to be playing in 70 degrees.
I agree,
John. It's like a little mini football vacation, not hurting as much with every hit.
Yep, I'm with you.
And then the following game, you know it's going to be a warm one in the Super Bowl.
All right, Christian, give me a great scene that happened in a home. This could be the Eagles' last home game this week, this year. What do you got?
Sure. Okay, so Dennis Hopper lives in a trailer, and Christopher Walken comes in to question him.
Great answer.
Holy mackerel.
True romance is called the Sicilian scene.
Yeah, we know it. Yeah. We know it.
We can't repeat it on the radio.
I don't know if I'm allowed to vote for that, though.
We know it well.
What a great scene.
It is an amazing scene. All right, Sunday should be a great scene, in part because the Eagles will likely win. But also there is a chance that the crowd will get on one Rams player in particular, perhaps more than any player has been gotten on since Lomas Brown in a playoff game 30 years ago. The crowd serenaded him with Lomas the whole fourth quarter because he had talked before the game predicting the Lions would win, and they did not. James, bring us up to speed on what this really good Rams player, Jarrett Verse, said yesterday.
Yeah, so this is what Jarrett Verse, these are actual quotes from Jarrett Verse. He said, "I hate Eagles fans. They're so annoying. I hate Eagles fans. When I see that green and white, I hate it. I actually get upset. Like, I genuinely actually get hot."
My God.
And then he went on to say, "I didn't even do nothing to him. It was my first time playing him. Oh, I hate Eagles fans."
All right. Well,
it's vastly different. I can tell you as a player.
My man can't handle coming. This was in L.A. He got annoyed because we got on him in L.A.
And that's what's crazy. God. Like, get ready, bud. It is going to be completely different than anything you've ever experienced. I'm positive of that. This place is special in terms of the get after it and stick to it nature of the fans. In other places, they might yell at you like first quarter or so, like, you guys suck. But then it kind of dies down. I remember coming in to the Vet in 2001 feeling such pride in the stick-to-itive nature of our fans. Everyone else on my Raiders team was looking around, and they would look to me like, because they knew that's where I was from. Yeah. They knew that's where I grew up. They knew that was my team. And they're looking at me like, these people are insane. They won't stop. And everyone was getting after, you know, yelling specifically, like, cutting comments to every guy. Like, they knew a little bit more. They knew enough to put, like, specifics about their position in the cuts.
Fans are doing a point of pride. John, you're right. They're doing a deep dive on Jarrett Verse this weekend.
Totally.
And it won't be that hard. He grew up 2 hours north of Philadelphia. Went to Columbia High School, Central Columbia High School. I'll help you out there. They're good.
I mean, those are some pretty aggressive comments.
Has this ever worked out for any of these
Never.
Guys, whether it's Lomas Brown or Spencer Strider, whoever it is? Like, this is
I'll give you one. Ruben will remember this. Ruben, wasn't it Todd Stottlemyre before the 93 World Series or during it? Didn't he get in a war of words with Ed Rendell?
Mel's kid? Todd Stottlemyre?
Yes. Ruben, do you remember this 93 World Series?
I actually don't remember it. I do know Todd, but Todd isn't afraid to opine.
He said something, and there was some kind of back and forth. I don't think he pitched well, but I think they I think he started that ridiculous game.
The 15-14 game?
I think
How
so.
Was that, that one?
He anyway, and then there's that Blackhawks defender that popped off about Pronger. And Pronger played great, but the Blackhawks won the series. But I get your point. And then Kobe said, I'm coming in there to...
Oh, that's...
What did
it
he
really,
say?
He said, I'm coming in there to rip the heart out of Philadelphia.
Yeah, and he won.
Well,
and
yeah.
So he's your,
great,
he's your answer.
He's the one. No, all-time yeah. great team, but
yeah,
yes.
Because they won three straight here to win it all. So
you did remember pretty much correctly, Joe. Basically, Stottlemyre got into a verbal exchange with the former mayor, the great Ed Rendell.
Yeah, it was it was phenomenal. But the problem was the Phillies lost the series. And the other problem was, and Ruben, you know this. You really know this. You should have been on the roster, Ruben.
That's correct.
He should have been.
They
You're
screwed up.
They
it
did.
Was a total screw up.
We would have won the World Series if Ruben's on the roster.
Doubt. No doubt. I probably would have come in and pinch run or pinch bunt it or something.
You would have hit a pinch hit home run. You never needed it.
Were you good at bunting?
Very good.
He so you were better than everyone.
You didn't have a choice.
Better than everyone. I had to be. Otherwise, I would never have played ever.
I don't. Well. Why is it that no one gets good at bunting now? It doesn't feel like I've seen anyone in Major League Baseball who can actually get one down.
You have to really take pride and take the time to do it. And you got to want to do it. You have to have a little want to. That's a Charlie Manuelism.
There
you
got
to have you have to have some want to.
Hey, Rube, you saw Charlie last night, right?
Yeah, it was a great night's Philly Sports Writers Banquet. A little lengthy as usual, but so a lot of people were wonderful people who honored Charlie being one of them. And it was great to be there. I could have sat about four or five different tables there. WIP, NBC Sports.
Yeah, I saw you there.
The Phillies, I was bouncing around.
A lot of Phillies people were
so
there.
So, Devin, was he not? It sounds like he was not at the WIP table. That's what I'm
hearing. No, Ruben was not at the WIP table.
Oh, no.
I went to visit.
We know where we stand.
I actually don't even know what, because he really could have fit into like five different tables. I don't even know what table you were classified
You could have been in the
into,
fan
Ruben.
Table also, Ruben. You're a fan, you know?
That's correct.
All right, let's go to the phone. So the Eagles and obviously the Rams coming up on Sunday. The Eagles close to a touchdown favorite. We'll get to our NFL picks for the – and by the way, I got some serious work to do. John is 1.5 up on
Uh-oh.
Me, and there's only 6 games left to pick.
So really?
I'm in some trouble. And John could win it this
You're
weekend.
John freaking Ricci, man.
I'm in trouble. All right, we'll get to what Mike Mayock said about this matchup shortly. Joe in Mayfair right now. Joseph.
Happy Football Friday, and a nice win, Mr. Hammer, going 5-for-5.
Thank you, sir. I did think they were fairly easy this week.
You know, I'm probably one of the biggest Jalen Hurts fans that calls this station and calls only your show, and I am not afraid. You know, guys, when Jalen's behind by a touchdown or in a tight game where the Eagles are losing, name me times where he's completely failed or wet the bed.
That's a good point.
You can hardly ever get dead.
Well, he doesn't get rattled. I mean, one of his great traits is there's no rattle element.
The calmness, yeah.
Yeah.
So when the Eagles are ahead and he doesn't want to give the other team the ball and he uses the best players on the team to protect the ball, that's his job.
No, I agree.
So I'm going to compare him to an all-time Sixers great, Maurice Cheeks. Never was the best stat guy ever in the Sixers uniform. But he was an amazing point guard who distributed the ball properly, played great defense, did all the little things that you want a leader on a team to win. If he has a Maurice Cheeks career, is that successful or not?
Of course. Of course.
That's what he's done so far. So why are we bashing somebody who's doing what it needs to do? I'm going to use my big offensive line. I'm going to call running plays more than passing plays in the RPO. I'm not going to throw the ball over the middle if I can't see the field that well in positions where I don't have to.
Well, hold on, Joe. But let me just
what you want a quarterback to do.
All right, but let me just pose this question to you. If a team stacks the Eagles effectively and limits the running game, which is possible. It hasn't happened much, but it is possible. Are you telling me?
Then we win outside.
Say that again?
If we're down
then we win outside.
Well, hopefully. But Joe, you don't have some concern that Jalen might not be that good in the passing game to effectively meet that moment?
The games that we're losing where he has to throw the football or where the tide is changing, just like the Packers game, 3 passes when we were only up by 10-3, and the Packers were getting momentum, he takes them right down the field. When Jalen has to use his arm to make plays down the field in tight games or where we're losing or momentum's changing, name me times where he's failed. You can't.
Well, they haven't. Yeah, I mean, that's right. I will agree.
That's my point. So when you're ahead in the football game, Joe, and you're a football coach, and you're ahead in the football game, and you got the biggest and baddest offensive line.
Yeah,
of football,
but you're not always. Joe, you're not always ahead. The point is, it could be the other way around when you face the Bills, the Chiefs,
and
or the Lions.
And I trust him because in games previously, like
okay,
last
look,
year
you think
Bills.
He's better
he'll
than
play
I do.
Conservatively
okay.
And hold on to the ball, we won't turn it over, and we'll have the best chance of winning because he plays the way he plays.
Well, it's his strengths, Joe, and that's what you want a quarterback. You don't want a quarterback to do things you're not supposed to do.
Of course not.
Like these hero ball.
Of course.
If you want a hero ball quarterback, you're never going to win a Super Bowl. You're not Pat Mahomes. You're not Joe Burrow.
All right. Joe, give me an answer, my man. What is the best scene ever in a home?
Well, it's the funniest one. It's an iconic Christmas movie. I'm going Wet Bandits Inside the Home with Kevin McAllister.
Oh, yeah. You got it, man. Yeah, two different answers today from Home Alone. All right, let's listen to Mike Mayock. Love when Mayock talks. Love when he's on WIP. He was on with Spike and Ike and Jack yesterday talking about this Eagles-Rams matchup. Let's listen to Mayock.
Do you think this is going to be a struggle for the Eagles on Sunday?
I think it's similar to last week. I think it's a similar conversation, except for the fact that the quarterback this week is better than the quarterback last week, and the wide receivers this week are better and more consistent than the wide receivers last week. So I keep saying that somebody's going to come along and make Philly play left-handed, make Philly beat them with the pass game, and I think Sean McVay's going to try and do that. Now, the caveat here is just like last week, Philly's a better football team, barring turnovers or anything crazy, I think they should win this game.
All right, so that's good. I mean, look, I think he frames it the right way. Let's listen to more of Mayock because he continued on talking about this matchup.
Here's what I would say to be aware of, okay? The Rams have enough talent to win the game, number one. Turnovers are a huge deal. Philly was +4 last week. The Rams were +2. That was the best in the playoffs last week. And lastly, I think McVay is going to try and steal a possession. You know, he's going to be aggressive on fourth down. He might fake a punt, but I think they're going to do something to try and gain an extra possession or two in this game. And I think they're dangerous. I think they're going to be really aggressive and tough. And Philly's going to have to complete some passes to the receivers in one-on-one coverage.
All right, that's Mike Mayock, obviously, on the game. Let's get a little deeper in the game with our Twitter poll questions of the day, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. In 2025, Armin Chevrolet is proudly celebrating 25 years of serving the automotive needs of the Delaware Valley. Together, let's drive, ArminChevy.com. First question, who wins? We are all picking the Eagles. So if you're just tuning in, everyone on our show, every guest we've talked to, we're all picking the Eagles. We know this poll result will be high, probably somewhere in the 90% with the online poll results when we reveal them next hour. But let's get ourselves on the record for the second poll question we have. What concerns you the most about the Eagles and the Rams? Now, Ruben, I'm starting with you here. Here are the four choices. What concerns you the most? Eagles-Rams, what concerns you the most? Jake Elliott, Jalen Hurts passing, Kellen Moore with three interviews before the game, or just that the Rams are good? What would be your answer, Ruben?
Kellen Moore.
Okay, Rhea?
I'm going to go Jake Elliott.
Richie?
I think I'm most worried that we can't kick if it's a one-score game, I'm terrified. And I don't think it'll be a one-score game. I think we'll be comfortable in this one. But eventually, this postseason, we're going to need him to make kicks because we're a point here and a point there away from winning or losing.
A second vote for Jake Elliott. Devin, which would be your pick?
Jalen Hurts is passing.
Seltzer?
Nothing.
Yeah, I like it.
If I had to choose, I would choose Jake Elliott, but I'm really not.
Okay. Well, if we don't count James, then it's going to be 2-2-1 because I would definitely say Jalen's passing. But the Jake Elliott thing is a major concern for me, but so is Jalen. We'll see. I do expect the Eagles to win. I think the bigger issue comes into focus when you get deeper into the playoffs and face better teams and obviously on the road in all likelihood in the NFC Championship game, but we will see. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's get to Ed in Phoenixville right now. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Eagles Friday.
Happy Eagles Friday.
Let's hope it's a happy Eagles Monday when we reconvene, and I think it will be.
I truly believe that.
Yeah, absolutely. Before I get to my point, I got to speak to Devin the News for a second.
Hi, this is Madeline. The news.
That'll never get old.
My youngest daughter is finally mastering the Eagles chant. She's got cadence down perfectly. The spelling is wavers a little bit. But you know how she starts her Eagles chant?
How?
She starts with an yep. And she learned it. That's how she started. That was obviously the first letter in the chant, but that catalyzed her enthusiasm for the chant. So
my terrible Eagles chant is what started your daughter learning the Eagles chant.
It's taken off, Ed.
I'm honored.
Yeah, it really has. So thank you for that. So
you're changing the minds of youngsters.
Yeah, I hope she nails that E note a lot better than I did, but I'm still honored.
E. Yeah. Speaking of you're welcome, she won't let me say you're welcome unless I'm singing it in Maui's voice for Moana. But that's another.
There you
story.
Go. All right, Ed. Ed, what do you make of this game, buddy?
I'm a little concerned of the poll question. I don't think you listed it as an answer, but the quick passing game is something that Sean McVay is going to scheme up better for this round. And, you know, how do you combat that? I think, you know, with the DBs, you have to get up in their face, disrupt routes. Kind of hard to do that when there's a lot of motion. But if we're not going to get to Stafford, I think we just got to get those hands up and, you know, just try to create as much discomfort, because I don't think we're going to get to him on time if the ball's out in 2 seconds.
Well, they're going to try to force him to get the ball out in 2 seconds, that's for sure. He's going to, you know, we're going to hope he won't be patient enough and he'll throw a couple up there that we'll pick ourselves and take it and hopefully have another big double point playoff win. That's the way I expect this is going to go. The big bazooka, the playmaker, the gunslinger. Vic Fangio wants him to make a few mistakes. He expects him to make a few mistakes. Vic's going to play it really conservatively and hope beyond hope that Matthew Stafford tries to take too big a bite.
And look, Ed, if they dink it and dunk it down the field, and they very well may try, you know.
They'll have some success sometimes.
They will. It's a lot of plays, though, also, that they're going to have to then line up and not jump offside with the crowd going wild.
Right.
I mean, you know.
That's another factor, Joe. Great point bringing that in. When you have to gain, you know, 4 yards per play the whole way down the field for 15 plays, in that noise?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Let me ask maybe this is a ridiculous question. Maybe it's not. I'll ask it. When it's really cold and everyone's got gloves on, is there not as much noise because you don't have clapping? Like they had the rally towels yesterday, last game. I didn't like that.
It's loud.
It's
still loud.
Use your clapping, voice, but.
Okay, clap.
They're still yelling.
I know.
It was loud there.
I think yelling is the loudest part.
I like the rally towels.
Yeah, but. They last about
30 seconds at the start of the game. And then
I do think they get people into it when they might not, too. Like, people who might not always clap or whatever, they love to wave. Everyone loves waving around.
But you can't clap.
The yell is what.
You just got to yell when you're waving.
You got to yell.
Yeah.
Don't be concerned with the decibel level. It'll be fine.
All right, Ed, give me an answer, my man. Best scene ever in a home.
I think Clark Griswold's tirade after he gets what he thinks is his bonus belly of the month.
You got it, buddy.
That's a great answer.
All right, Ed, good stuff. All right, so I got the answer. Something I was wondering earlier this week. When it's a rematch situation and the Eagles are playing a team in the playoffs they've beaten, how does it go? So I did the research last night.
Mm.
So not as good as I would have hoped.
Now, let's not do this, though. How many times has it happened?
All right, so here's the deal. I threw out all NFC scenarios.
NFC East.
Almost every time Eagles played a team in the playoffs in the NFC East, they split.
Yeah.
A lot of times they split. The one time they didn't split was 2 years ago against the Giants, and of course they walloped them. But when they face a team only one time in the season and have beaten them, it's happened 11 times before, the Eagles are 6-5 in the playoff game.
Okay.
So this is the Eagles beat a team in the regular season, face them in the playoffs, they're 6-5.
Why does that have any effect on this year?
All time. Now, at home, they're 4-2.
All right, okay. I'll take 4-2.
Now, last year was one of them.
Yeah.
And
they won week three against
Tampa. They stomped the Bucs that game.
Yep.
So just for what it's worth, all time, 6-5 in rematches out of the division, 4-2 when it's at home.
Means nothing.
Absolutely
not
nothing.
A freaking thing.
Well, I will tell you this. They were favored against Oakland in 80, Tampa Bay in 02,
okay.
Carolina in 03, wow. Arizona in 08, and 08, incredibly against Tampa 03. Bay last year.
Do you think, and why does that impact at
it
all
means
this
were
team?
Favored or? Against Tampa Bay last
yeah,
year?
Yeah, they were. Slight favorite.
That's crazy.
But here's the point. Two things. One, you can beat a team and feel confident and lose. Two, you can be a favorite and lose. They were a favorite every yes. single time. My point is, be aware why we are all confident. Don't take this for granted. That's the point I'm trying to make. Don't take it for granted. All right, so with that said, Eagles are pretty much a guarantee, right, James?
No. Yeah, as I said. Yeah.
No, not a guarantee, but they are a solid favorite, as they should be, and I think the Eagles will win.